Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
I ain't heard no fat lady. What's up, everybody? All you boys excited. Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you, as I love to do, every single weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. The number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. Did you see my Yankees? Did you see my Yankees? Yeah, I ain't heard no fat lady. It ain't over, baby. It ain't over. It's 1-1. And there's a game 3 tonight. The season's on the line, okay? The New York Yankees down 1-0 after wetting the bed in game 1 of this series has tied it up 1-1. Courtesy of that dude that was inexplicably benched by Aaron Boone, the manager. I'm talking about Jazz Chisholm Jr. coming from first base, even with the late start, circling around second, circling around third, diving head first in the home plate, beating the tag 9.16 seconds, okay? That's the amount of time it took him. 2 seconds faster than a major league average of 11.16 seconds, I might add. Jazz Chisholm Jr., handling his business, not letting depression, not letting disgust, not letting annoyance kick in to the point where it impeded his ability to perform. Him and Ben Rice in his first at-bat of his postseason ever, smacking a two-run shot, okay, to give the Yankees that lead. The Yankees survive, and now they force a game 3 tonight at Yankee Stadium. The season is on the line, just like the series is on the line. The New York Yankees know what they got to do. They're going to handle their business. They're going to handle their business. It is a team, okay? I mean, when you talk about the Red Sox, they'd won 8 consecutive potential series clinching postseason games entering game 2, all right? They had been 5-0 in postseason clinches under Alex Cora, all right? But it didn't go down like that last night. So I'm very happy today. I'm very enthused today. I'm very excited today. And I just wanted to say that. Again, the number is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. That's the number to call into the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. By the way, make sure if you want to leave a voicemail, go to SiriusXM.com/getserious. That's SiriusXM.com/getserious to make sure you can send in voicemail messages in the event you didn't feel like calling in and waiting to get in touch with your boy live and then live in color. Anyway, that's one topic I'm going to get into today. We've got about 3 series deciding games coming on to Major League Baseball tonight. And so I'll get into all of that as the show progresses. I'll definitely stay on my New York Yankees as the show progresses. I'll definitely get into the WNBA because Caitlin Clark, the great Caitlin Clark, had something to say about Nafisha Collier going off on WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelberg. I'll touch on that a little bit later on in the show as well, along with various other items too. But it's important that I also start with some NFL action because I want to get into Shedeur Sanders. Now, for those of you who don't know, Shedeur Sanders, you know, it's not normal to lead sports shows and to talk about a QB3, a third-string quarterback. But without question, Shedeur Sanders is the most popular third-string quarterback in the entire NFL. And if you're paying attention to what's going on in Cleveland, okay, the reality is that you have a lot of people there that are anxiously awaiting him stepping on the field during an NFL game that counts to see what he's got, to see what he's made of. To rehash his story just a little bit, Shedeur Sanders initially coming out into the draft, projected to be a top 2 or top 3 quarterback taken in the draft, fell to the number 144th pick overall, a 5th round pick. And it was widely assumed that the biggest reason that happened was because of his daddy, primetime Deion Sanders. You know, you had some people out there saying that bravado was too much, that they were giving indications that if they didn't like where they were going to be drafted, that that wasn't someplace they were going to go. And without collusion even needing to be necessary, you had owners that were saying, we ain't taking him, we ain't taking him, we ain't taking him, until the Cleveland Browns ultimately did in the 5th round with the 144th overall pick. Needless to say, since that time has come, Shedeur Sanders performed well in a preseason game against the Carolina Panthers, performed significantly less than well, pretty badly, in another preseason game, and was considered to be outplayed by Dillon Gabriel, who was another rookie draft pick drafted before Shedeur Sanders. And as a result, he was the QB2. Sanders has been named the QB3. Joe Flacco was the QB1 for the Cleveland Browns. And when you look at their defense, you know they are legit, they're real. And you know if anything's holding them back, what's really, really holding them back, more so than anything else, it's their offense. It's not their defense. Because when you look at Myles Garrett, a monster, if ever there was one, on the defensive side of a football field, he is the best in the business. Nobody can deny it. Myles Garrett is that dude. All right. And then you look at some of the other pieces that they have. Clearly, if they had any kind of offense, the Cleveland Browns would easily be a title contender. But because they don't have any offense, they're a shell of themselves right now. They're desperately in need of a quarterback, and that's what's going on. Okay. Needless to say, Coach Kevin Stefanski had to talk about this because he's the only active NFL coach who's been named Coach of the Year multiple times in 2020 and 2023. We know he can coach, but we also know that this team is not good enough because they don't have offensive weapons. And they're trying to find a quarterback. Everybody's looking at them, begging them to get their act together and what have you. And Shedeur Sanders has been unapologetic about his confidence and what he believes he can do on an NFL field when given the opportunity, and that simply has not happened yet. And so anytime he says anything, it's going to be taken and just blown up into astronomical proportions. Unfortunately, my colleague at ESPN, ESPN's Rex Ryan, went on Get Up earlier this week and said that Sanders wasn't ready, questions his readiness for NFL speed and decision-making, and basically said stuff like just shut the hell up and play and blah, 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 blah. One could easily argue that would have been excessive, and it's kind of crazy for Rex Ryan to tell somebody to shut up. But you know what? The bottom line is this. I understood where he's coming from. And Rex Ryan is one of the most brilliant defensive minds this game has ever seen as a coordinator. I know if you're a New York Jets fan, if you're a Buffalo Bills fan, you might not feel that way about the job he did as a head coach, even though Rex Ryan did go to a couple of AFC championship games. We keep forgetting that. But in the end, the bottom line is that they might have felt he was a bit too harsh with Shedeur Sanders. With all of that being said, Coach Kevin Stefanski had some things to say about his QB3 still. And by the way, I was on the record saying he shouldn't be a QB3. He should be a QB2 because we know you ain't putting Joe Flacco back in the damn game. So why would you even have him as a QB2 when you know his 40-plus-year-old self is just there as a security blanket? This is really about Dillon Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders' team for the time being moving forward. But nevertheless, that's what the situation is. And Kevin Stefanski was being talked to by reporters about these very issues. Here's what the head coach for the Cleveland Browns had to say. Take a listen.
From the second he's been here, he's been working very hard, very intelligent young man. He's done a nice job throughout practice. And he's been, this whole season, he's been learning how to get yourself ready and understand the rhythm of an NFL week and what that looks like as a backup. And obviously now feel like he's ready to go in as a starter.
So that's what he's saying. Okay, and we get that part. We understand it. So what's the big brouhaha about? Well, if you're watching on camera, you can see. But I'll tell you in a second, after I play this for you, Shedeur Sanders talking to reporters. Listen up. Because Shedeur Sanders is not saying anything. He's pantomiming as if he's speaking, but he's really not really saying anything. Okay? He's moving his lips, he's moving his body language, etc., but he's not saying anything. Now, a lot of people look at that and they say it's immature. What the hell is he doing? To me, what he was saying is, no matter what I say, it's going to be taken out of context or it's going to be blown up and exploited, and it's not going to do me any good. It's only going to be harmful. Because you know how people are. Every coach, every organization wants their quarterback, in terms of dealing with the media, having press conferences or being interviewed, they all want their quarterbacks to be like Dak Prescott. You know, you're articulating yourselves pretty well, but in the end, when it comes to dissecting and interpreting what you're saying, you said absolutely not a damn thing. Give the media nothing. Give them nothing. Just give them lip service and say what they're going to say. Nobody's better at that than Dak Prescott. We all know this, okay? So that's what they want from Shedeur Sanders. Here's what I would say to y'all. Fair enough. If you are Shedeur Sanders, I want to say, I think the young brother is smart. He's only 23 years of age. He is smart. He is talented. He is accomplished. Jackson State and then ultimately Colorado and what we saw him do on a collegiate level at both programs was very impressive. We can't deny that. We can't deny his poise under pressure and what he's capable of delivering, his ability to learn, adjust, adapt, and ultimately grow. And the pedigree is definitely unquestionable. His daddy may be the greatest athlete we've ever seen in American history. I mean, we could throw Bo Jackson out there. We could throw a few others out there. But how can we definitively say we have seen a greater athlete than primetime Deion Sanders? As a football player, as a baseball player, as a football player playing the cornerback position, plus being a wide receiver, plus being a special a kick returner, a punt returner, the man was sensational. He was box office. He was spectacular. And he talked that smack and he backed it up. He had that swag, that bravado, and he backed it up. And nobody will deny it. Oh, by the way, the San Francisco 49ers couldn't beat the Dallas Cowboys led by Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin and Emmitt Smith. And then they got primetime Deion Sanders, coincided with the same time that Jerry Jones got rid of Jimmy Johnson, and San Francisco beat the Dallas Cowboys in an NFC Championship game. Then they turn around after winning the Super Bowl in San Francisco. Jerry Jones goes and he gets primetime away from San Francisco, brings him to Dallas, and Dallas turns around and wins the damn Super Bowl with primetime. So he helped San Francisco overcome their doldrums against the Dallas Cowboys, going from Atlanta to San Francisco, helping Steve Young and those boys win a Super Bowl championship, Jerry Rice included. And then after doing that, departing from them, joining the Cowboys, and then beating those same dudes he had helped win the Super Bowl the year before. That's prime time we talking about here. That's prime time we talking about here. Who is unquestionably one of the greatest athletes in American history, if not the world. And an absolute winner, absolute spectacular. That may not be his son, but that don't make his son a scrub. Here's what it does make his son, however. It makes his son an individual that needs to be aware of his circumstances, needs to be aware of the fact that you are primetime Deion's son. And you got to watch what you say. You got to watch how you carry yourself. You got to watch everything you do. I didn't say it was fair. I didn't say it was fair at all. But it's reality. And it is time that Shedeur Sanders understands that every little thing he does is under a microscope because of who your dad is. And because you got a lot of people, as lovable as your dad is, that's my brother. I love him to death. And I can speak to a lot of guys within the NFL that now work in television that will say the same thing about primetime Deion Sanders. We got authentic, real, sincere love for that brother. But that doesn't mean everything that has happened is right. Like primetime talking before the draft about how his son going to listen to him, how they're going to evaluate the process, and his son going to do what his daddy wants him to do. We got to remember stuff like that. And when asked the question, what if he don't listen? Who? Who? In other words, of course he's going to listen. That's why I broke Deion Sanders' heart to see his son drop in the draft, because he know that part of the reason that Shedeur Sanders dropped to 144th overall and being a fifth-round pick was because of him. Because you had not the NFL community per se, but you got some owners out there. They don't want somebody coming to tell them what they're going to do. NFL owners don't play that. They're very big on control. Jerry Jones has proven that to you on many, many occasions. You also don't want prime time in your camp if you're some of these coaches, because you know he can coach now because he's proven that. And because he can coach and he's proven that, people are going to look at him and say, if he comes on, if Shedeur Sanders arrives, well, then maybe, just maybe, it's not going to be long before prime time Deion Sanders arrives as the coach, which also contributed to the thought process. That's why you didn't bring Shedeur Sanders onto your team. So it hurt Deion Sanders' heart to see his son hurt by his presence or his perceived presence. If you're Shedeur Sanders, you got to know that. I know it's only been a few months since you've been a part of an NFL team, but you yourself, Shedeur Sanders, said, yo, I could have handled the interview process differently. Maybe I shouldn't have come with a certain level of swag. Maybe I shouldn't have been as outspoken as I would have been. Maybe I should have handled things a little bit differently because this is a new environment, a new culture. So all of those things that he recognized that he could have done differently, it doesn't just apply to the NFL draft. It applies to the NFL, period. When you pantomiming and, you know, feigning as if you're talking and saying nothing and stuff like that, some people could look at that and say, that's an extra tool that you're utilizing to bring attention to yourself. Why don't you just focus on getting on the damn field? Again, I'm not here criticizing Shedeur Sanders. I'm simply forewarning him about what he needs to watch out for, because I do think he's a great kid. And I do think that he listens. And I do think that there's no character issues with this kid. And I do think he's smart. And I do think he can play. And I do think he has pause. And quite honestly, I think he's going to be better than Dillon Gabriel if given a chance. Now, Dillon Gabriel did look better in preseason. Got the ball out of his hands quicker. Knew where he was going with the football. Seemed a bit more decisive. And what he did against the Eagles as opposed to what Shedeur Sanders did against the Carolina Panthers. So we got to take all of those things into consideration. But we also have to remember that Dillon Gabriel is approaching 25 years of age. He's played about 64 college football games before he came to the pros. So he's a seasoned veteran for somebody who's a rookie on the NFL level because he played a lot of collegiate ball. Had about 5 or 6 years in college. We got to remember that when we're looking at Dillon Gabriel, whereas that's not the case for Shedeur Sanders. And give Shedeur Sanders some time, who knows what he's going to do? Who knows what he's going to be? Who knows what he's going to accomplish? All of those things are relevant. We got to think about that before we're judging this brother. But in the same breath, Shedeur has to understand that even though that would be the right thing to do, some people ain't going to be inclined to be fair. Some people ain't going to be inclined to wait and reserve judgment. Some people are going to be assholes, and they're going to be very, very premature in their thinking and judge you accordingly, and they don't need to be doing that, but they're going to do it anyway. You got to know that, be prepared for it, and guard against it. That's what you got to do if you're Shedeur Sanders, because I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. Unless Dillon Gabriel goes out there and plays lights out and has Cleveland in position to legitimately compete for a playoff spot, you are going to see Shedeur Sanders this year. And you know why you're going to see him? Because Cleveland is clamoring for him to be seen. I'm talking about the public. It's not like Haslam, the owner, and Berry, the GM, and others have given you much to cheer for. Myles Garrett is there. Remember, he asked to be traded before they gave him $40 million a year. $40 million. They gave that to him to quiet him down, but also because he deserves it. But the reality is that Myles Garrett knew they weren't good enough. The defense is good enough. The offense is trash. So what's Dillon Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders eventually going to do about it? It remains to be seen. But Cleveland's going to want him to find out. Yo, he's a QB3. I'm talking about Shedeur Sanders here. And he's got one of the popular jerseys. He's more popular than anybody on Cleveland. People want to see him. And when you suck as a football team, when it comes to wins and losses, the least you could do is give the fans what they want to see. So at some point, whether it's week 13, week 14, week 15, I believe you're going to see Shedeur Sanders. And hopefully, when it does happen, he's ready. Because if he's not, the world's going to know that too. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. Plus, if you want to leave a voicemail message, go to SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. That's SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. You are listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with your calls and more in a minute. Do not go away. I'll be right back.